It's Carol. Does she have any more time left on her community service? Are we here? Is this us?
This is us.
Right, everybody else off.
Good. Let me make it easy for you, Pete.
All right.
This should be done in your Bible study group.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
All right. And maybe for the burning of the leaven, but
yeah.
This isn't the place for that. You understand that from the fall, even before the fall, we have been deceived. The first deception happened in Genesis, and that deception has always been there. It's continued without exception. And it goes to the idea that we cannot see, nor can we believe, that it's finished. We cannot believe that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We cannot cast down imaginations because we think that there's something left to do. There's a scripture that I can't find that I looked for this morning, but it says, in essence, that the sun will fail, the moon will fail, the stars will fail if there isn't a king on the throne of Israel. And so let's see if we can go through a few of these deceptions. Go to Genesis 2. And maybe if you can see the deceptions throughout the scriptures, that maybe the deceptions will stop plaguing you. That's why they're here, according to Paul. In Genesis 2, and you've heard me preach on this many times, in verse 16, the Lord commanded God, the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Thou shalt surely die if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Hebrew it says, it's even more interesting, in Hebrew it says, if you eat of that tree, in dying you shall die. Now, when the temptation came in Genesis 3, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." God had never said anything about touching the fruit. He said not eating the fruit. Do you understand the big difference? Let's look at Daniel chapter 2. He's giving the dream and the interpretation about the kings of the earth. In verse 44, he said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." Now, it says that this kingdom shall stand forever. In order for the kingdom to stand, there had to be the king sitting. So again, we have the saying that there has never been a moment in which the king hasn't been seated and it's standing forever. We read in the New Testament that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We read that all the nations shall flow up to Jerusalem and therein celebrate the tabernacles and Passover feasts. Well, that's never happened by our sight. By our sight, the kingdom of God isn't standing forever. It isn't certainly now by our sight. And if a kingdom isn't standing forever by our sight, then he must not be in charge of me. I must have to strive to make things different. I must protect myself in some way because there's no king that's sitting that's promising all these goodies. So it has to come from some other source. I have to learn how to do something. I have to exert effort. Is this communicating? All right, let's go. Let's look at a bunch of other places.
We're talking about fundamental deceptions.
Deception by which he's deceived the whole world. Go to Psalm, there's two Psalms. Go to Psalm 72 first.
Psalm what?
72. The whole psalm is about the reign of the king. Have you ever noticed? I don't know if in your Bible or not, but it's the when the interpreters did this, the verses that related to Christ were always had a star or some other asterisk by them. That's in my Bible, in a lot of Bibles it is. But let's see. We can start. I don't want to start at the. I highly recommend you read this all the way through. But for right now, verse 11. "Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and the day of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed." Again, this isn't describing something that's going to happen. It's describing a what is. You got a little bit picture of that? Okay, go to Psalm 82. Oh, excuse me, 89.
I'm going to wake up first.
Forget it. If he can't wake up himself, then he's not long for this earth. Again, we could read the whole song, but it's God's sure promises to David from the beginning. These psalms were written, who knows when, I forgot when, but go to verse 35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Again, forever, forever, like the ordinance of the Passover, the ordinances of tabernacles. These are to be celebrated forever. Forget the B. These are celebrated forever. Doesn't matter whether you celebrate them or not, they are celebrated forever because they are the revelation of Jesus Christ. You, by anyone's standards, if you look at the world, God cannot be in control. And if God isn't in control, then he must have a force that is opposing him. And if we can look at the world and look outward and see that, then we must look inward and we can find 1,000 reasons why God isn't in control of our lives. But all of them are contravene that he is in this throne forever. Am I communicating a little bit? Now, my only question to you, as it has been forever, have your senses or your interpretation of what's going on in your life, have they ever been correct except for little brief moments? Has your mind, as I've told you so often, have your mind or your emotions ever been your friend? Except for long enough to deceive you? Talk to me. If you don't believe me, let's discuss it. We're about to celebrate a statement by He who is the Word of God. The world was made by Him and for Him. It is created of Him. All things are created for Him and for His purpose. His first words were, I must be about my Father's business. His last words were, it is finished. Now, I don't care if you believe it or not. That's your business. You can swim around in the swamp and the miasma as long as you want to. You can continue to walk like a blind man in the dark, continually following your nose and your little senses. That's your business. But I'm here to tell you that from my experience, with everything that I know, that every single thought that I've ever had has been wrong. And every single emotional response that I've ever had has been wrong. I don't know about you. Maybe you've been right. And I'm not, forgive me for speaking, but I've been all over the world. I've met some of the most powerful people in the world. They knew nothing. I've met some of the richest people in the world. They know nothing. Who's your mentor? Who are you taking your cues from? Go to Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street, nor by time on television. No, it doesn't say that. A bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax shall he not quench. Why would it say those silly things? There's not the slightest, smallest thing in our sensory world that he's going to fix or correct.
It says that because he knows that you're going to say, where's the evidence of his presence? And this says there is none.
Is it possible for you to get to see how furious I get at some of you when you tell me, oh, how the Lord is blessing you? If something goes after your understanding, because then you're saying he's not blessing you when you're in, or what you're saying to me is you've trivialized every bit of suffering I've ever gone through, because in all those times he wasn't blessing me, and you must be far more important to me, to God, than I am. Do you hear me? A bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, not on the earth. And the isle shall wait for his law. Let's read some more. And we go to verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and they that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Then that's not talking about having a prison ministry. That's talking about you, so that you're no longer sitting in the prison, continually fearful, with free-floating anxiety everywhere, that's walking like a brute beast, making decisions based on your senses. We're about to celebrate an event so huge that we cannot can even conceive it. And even though you are yet alive, it's celebrating your death. Not that you try to die, or you try to pick up the cross, or you try to do anything. It's a celebration of an eternal fact that you are dead. There's been a usurper that has been masquerading as you all these years. He has and always will deceived you. His purpose is to cause you to be alone and separate and fearful. And his name is you. Now we're celebrating his death. Because all men died in Christ. We're not celebrating. There's no battles anymore. Except for the really stupid ones. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to see. Except to see honestly what you already know. Let's go to Micah. See if you can find Micah. This is your final exam. I'll give you a hint. He's a minor prophet. He's right after Obadiah. Oh, yeah. Micah 4. Verse 6. And let's go back up a little bit. Verse 3. He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation or people shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You got to trust me. This isn't talking about nations of the world. This is talking about you. You're going to take that sword by which you have always tried to kill somebody that was threatening you or making fun of you or anything, and you're going to beat that into a plowshare, a digging instrument, so you can find out what it is in you that you haven't yet given up. That causes you and causes what somebody says or doesn't say to get you to take your sword out. And you shall what? And your spears, again, for hurting somebody that is hurting you, into pruning hooks. To cutting off in you that part of you that is still subject to whether or not somebody's response to you is what you think it should be. Can you hear this? But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none, nothing shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord. Again, every man in the world is walking according to the name of his God. And if your God is self-realization, you might as well say, I'm worshiping the Antichrist. Oh, but I can't help it, or oh, that's all I got to do. Well, then you're a fool. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth. I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Now, forever is kind of an interesting term. It means as long as time lasts. And again, this one was written in 700 B.C. It's not a prophecy, it's a what is. Because if it was forever and ever, it also had to include the past. It's this incredible egotism of people who think God became the Lord of their life when they accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. Or better yet, in history, God is doing this thing. He's doing a different thing at different times. Anybody have any... Do you understand the finality here? Or do you want to negotiate? What?
I had to go through at the request of Mrs. Buckner. I had to go through a box of snapshots yesterday, and I didn't realize it. Well, I kind of realized it at the time, but while you were talking just now, I really realized that I saw a picture of Vic, who's dead, a picture of Lanny, who's dead, a picture of Crystal, who's dead. The list goes on. And I woke up this morning thinking about Irma starting to lose her ability to think, and Ruth Pauley. I thought of Ruth Pauley this morning. And, you know, it happens so gradually that we don't see what it is that's going on. But there's an end to this, and this could easily be the last Passover. And we just don't, we make believe that it's not, that that's not real. We make believe that we're indestructible and I'm the king of the universe and I'm going to live forever. And it's not real.
But what God wants you to see is not that it's going to last, but that it's over. There is any more tomorrow.
And stop trying to find life in what we do, what we say, think.
Amen.
All, you know, that whole thing, because life is in the Spirit, and that's the whole mystery. You know, and how we're tied together, and it's just, you know, beyond our senses.
And it's beyond time. If you don't see,
and he's right. Is true. We don't have to try to be right. It's so easy to slip into. It's justification for everything that we do.
And
why I didn't do this, why I didn't do that, why I did do this, why I didn't do that.
And pouting if somebody doesn't appreciate your offering.
Then they say, it's getting dark in here. You know, like, they're feeling this depression come back. And then, they, you know, it just goes back and forth. It's just...
It's because a little stimulus.
Yeah. And it just blows away, you know, our trying to get people to understand, trying to make them perform, trying to get them not... Judging whether they do understand or not, you know, all that stuff needs to go out in the wastebasket.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah. Because we can't judge that. All we can do is be faithful, you know, and say what's there and preach when it's, there's when there's opportunity, and leave the rest to God. We have no way of knowing where that seed's going to fall and where the fertile ground is and what it's supposed to look like.
Go to Isaiah 9. starting verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Can that settle on you? They shall pass through it hardily, bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass, and when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold, there's nothing but trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven to more darkness. Does that sound familiar? Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have now seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, has not increased the joy. The joy before thee according to the joy of the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. And as long as you're continuing to fight, whether it's you or anybody else, the battle is always as this. Confused noise. It's just noise. Because you're using the tools of the flesh to battle the flesh. Do you understand me? And you look for a evidence of this, of your rightness in the flesh. It can't be. Understand a little bit? Anytime you think there's the slightest thing to do, the slightest thing to change, then you're battling. You're in a battle, and all you'll see is confusion and noise. And garments rolled in blood. Harry, where are you?
I'm so angry I can't even speak.
Well, I know.
Yeah. No matter what I do, if I speak, if I look, if I acknowledge, whatever I do, it is an offering. And I'm sick of it.
Well, so you should be. And the evidence that it's an offering is because you expect a response.
I didn't expect any response. The response I got was what you said to me.
Well, it was first from her. That's what made you mad.
I didn't even react to what she said.
I know you didn't, but I felt it.
Well, I didn't. I'm just tired of it.
Well, then stop making offerings.
I'm not going to make any offerings. I don't want to have anything to do with you.
This, isn't this like a sign?
I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. It doesn't matter what I do or don't do. You always put me down. Always.
It sounds like,
always.
Are you talking to... have you and Gary been...
No, that's Gary. I don't give a shit. That's him. That's his walk. That's your relationship.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going back 20 fucking years. It doesn't matter. I'm an idiot, and you put me down. A million fucking times. And I've just had it. I'm not going to play anymore.
How many times in 20 years have you said this same thing?
No, I've never been where I am right now. Never.
Well, I seem to remember a few times.
I have, but I don't think so. But I mean, I'm just not going to do it anymore. Now, if that means I can stay, I'll stay. If it means I can't stay, I won't stay. That's not even in the equation. The thing is, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm sick of it. You don't treat other people the way you treat me. I've said this before. And your response is a smile, and if I did to them what I do to you, they'd leave.
And this is because I said something about an offering.
This is because your response to me, tell me, somebody talk to me, tell me what's going on. Don't hide, what's going on? I tell you what's going on.
And I say you're making an offering.
And after about a 10-second beat, it's some snide remark about an offering, which is really saying what you just said was an offering, which is really going back to the last real meeting we had, which was when you pointed out it's not necessary for me to make a contribution to prove that I understand.
So isn't your
response? Which I took and understood and agreed with.
Okay.
This morning was not me proving I understand. This was me telling you what was going on in me. And the response is, it's an offering.
Okay, let me ask you, how could it not be an offering if your response could be this dramatic?
What do I do with it? Sit here, not you, talk to me, tell me what's going on. Okay, I'm not going to because it will be an offering. This has been going on for 20 fucking years. This is not a one-time thing.
It's been going for more than 20.
I'm not making any more offerings. And whatever I do is an offering, so I ain't doing it anymore. I'll do what I have to do, and if that's not okay, then I'll pack my shit and get out of here.
And where will you go?
I don't fucking care. I'm not going to do this. Sometimes, and this is one of the times, sometimes I think that you get some kind of perverted glee out of busting my fucking balls. And this is one of the times. You don't do it to Bloom. You don't do it to him. You don't do it to anybody but me.
That's not true.
Oh, man, I've been watching you for 20 fucking years. Hi, how you doing? Nice day, isn't it? To me, nothing.
Maybe it's because you want it. Well, you obviously do.
Well, I mean, I don't even want to do this. I'm responding because you said there's something wrong. What's wrong? I'm responding, but I don't really want to.
And what do you want to do?
Not get fucked around by you anymore. I feel wrong all the time around you. I don't want to feel that way. I end up making an offering by trying not to make an offering. I mean, it's just going on and on and on and on and on.
So this is the way you want to end it.
I don't want to end anything other than what I perceive to be this...
Stop, Harry.
Crap.
Just stop. If it wasn't an offering, then you wouldn't have this response.
It's what I had.
But forget it. I don't care what you had or don't have. If you did, if it wasn't an offering, somebody's response to it couldn't have made any difference to you. I told you 25 years ago that the reason that you're here is, and if you think this isn't my job, then we can discuss it. My job is, if I can no longer put a trip on you, no one in the universe can. That's the job of anyone that sits in the position of a teacher. This is what you say you wanted. This is what you say you missed when I wasn't teaching. If you use whatever you have, whatever mental capacities are there, if it wasn't an offering, your response could not have had this much emotional. It couldn't have that.
That makes sense. Okay, it was an offering.
Okay, and it
what
couldn't.
What the hell do I do about it? It doesn't matter what I do. Everything is an offering.
How about, Father, forgive me, not for this. Father, forgive me for thinking I need to make an offering. Father, forgive me for thinking I need to be anything other than me. Father, forgive me for thinking that there's something wrong with me, so I sabotage myself. Father, forgive me for not forgiving myself. The only reason I do this to you is because this is what has to be dealt with. So you no longer need my acknowledgement. You don't need my presence. You need nothing about me for your relationship in the kingdom of God. It's very easy. I can ignore you. You want me to, that's a very easy thing to do. I can ignore it when I see you do this. Why am I still the only person that you have to talk to when there nobody else? Nobody's going to risk the wrath of Harry to exhort him. When you can be exhorted by Pete or by Brian, then this response will no longer be necessary. When you can be exhorted by the one that you despise the most, then this response will not happen, because you will have stopped putting me on any kind of a pedestal. You will have stopped believing that you listen to me because you think I'm smarter than you are. This is real. This is what church should be. To find out, this is the pruning hook. This is the turning your sword into a plowshare. This isn't trying to put you down. This is trying to make you free. Free from me. Look around the room. Tell me, who can exhort you? Maybe every once in a while, Joyce Anna. You've got to be able to see this. You've got me on the pedestal. You've got your Molech with my face on it. That's why it's so difficult for you to submit to Gary. Because frankly, you don't believe Gary is smart enough for you to submit to. This isn't about your little offering. This is about your freedom. Anybody else understand? Anybody else see? Or anybody else? Anybody want to side with Harry? We can take sides, and we can, like, picking a football team.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, what's your response? I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm leaving. That's the coward's response. Oh, it'd be so easy for me to say, oh, I'm sorry, Harry, I shouldn't have been so mean to you. If I was still a politician, I'd be doing that.
that same thought that, you know, no matter what Gary says or Harry says, you always you discount it or correct it or one-up it.
That's right. I agree.
See, I think it's fine when you do it to Gary.
No, and the reason
like
I
it when you do it to me.
The reason I do it to them more than anyone, I used to do it to John Rutledge more than anybody, is because there's a thing in both of them that still need my respect. I don't think you need my respect. You don't care whether I say hi to you or not. I'm not your father. I'm not your Molech. And I don't want to be your buddy. I want to be your friend, where I've told you everything I know, and you like me anyway. I don't want to be your pal.
I agree.
I'll be. You almost went over the line with me that time about me not exhorting you. Until you see that my response to you, whether I say hello or nod or wave or ignore you, is absolutely meaningless to your sense of happiness, your sense of peace. You don't beat cumin.
See, I know that what you just said is true, but in here, my response to that is I can't even imagine that not being the case.
Well, I can.
I know. I can't.
I can imagine where you and I have the same relationship that Bloom and I have, which I don't give a crap whether Bloom calls me for the next 4 or 5 years. It doesn't affect our friendship.
Yeah, I just, as plainly as I can say it, at my core, I believe that my well-being is tied to you.
And that's,
my welfare is dependent upon you.
And I know you do, and that's why I'm so mean to you. And Gary believes the same way in a different way.
I don't think I do.
Well, in a slightly different way. You still want to be my buddy.
No, I don't.
All right.
Really
well, good. I hope that's true.
I really used to, but because I thought that was valuable. But being your friend is really not.
That's good. Well, and I'm overjoyed.
Yeah. But this conversation is like it dances on the line of being and offering. You know, being is free. Offering is still under the, you know, all kinds of stipulations.
Well, the difference is if you're being, then you don't care what somebody's response to you.
Exactly.
Especially what my response is.
And I know, and I make my offerings or whatever I say in here, and you do your.
And I make fun of you.
And you make fun, but I don't. Maybe I discount you when you come back at me with what you're doing because it doesn't relate to what I'm saying. And I don't know if I've stuffed it or what, but it doesn't affect me like it used to.
It's called coping.
No, maybe it's called maturing. Maybe it's a different way of seeing.
Well, not if you let it.
I don't have to see the same thing you do to be.
You do with regard to time.
Well, you've got your own time thing, and you.
No, it's not. It's finished.
And it is finished.
The gift of God is eternal life.
But I just happen to see it's finished the way I see it, and you don't see it the way I perceive it.
How can we differ in seeing it that it's finished?
I don't know. It's a mystery.
How can we differ in seeing there's no time?
I don't know, but I see it.
Well, I know you do, but it's not a different interpretation.
Whatever it is, you discount when I say it.
When you say anything that leads and gives the impression to others that time is necessary, I'm all over you. And
I've noticed.
Huh?
I've noticed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when he does anything to me that seems like he's giving an offering, I'm all over him. Now, and I'm harder on you two than on anyone else. Because if I was that hard on anyone else, then they would leave.
See, See, Gary, from where I'm sitting over here, I can see what that is. I really can, because it's not me.
Yeah.
I can see what's going on. And I can tell you that what he just said is true. That's what I see. That's what he does.
That's because you think he's smarter than me.
No, it's because I... What he said is going on is what's going on. I can see it. The problem is...
Oh, well, I'll help you out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, why don't you guys join a pact?
Well, I think in a way...
You already have.
No, in a way, it's a good thing.
Well, I do too, whatever.
I just want to say before we break, I want to say publicly, but I don't know what I want to say.
Don't say it.
I thank you for, first of all, staying in the room, everybody, and second of all, thank you for not either hitting me with a chair or saying, fuck you, get out of here, or whatever. I mean, I appreciate it.
I have something to say. When I first got here 10 years ago or whatever, I used to sit over there every morning. I was blown away by everything you would say. I had you on a serious pedestal also. And when I came back, when we came back from Kansas, you were like disabled, you know. Didn't even come out of your room for years. And that was really important for me to see that in an odd way.
No, I understand totally.
Yeah, I mean that, I saw you as just a man, you know, you're just a man. That's it.
Just a dumb man with no
sometimes,
credentials.
Yeah.
No, I'm not smarter than anybody. That's the point. The only talent I have is to see that it's finished. And so the deception, I mean, I've gone through every deception that everybody else has. But the only difference was I saw through it quicker. And I had all the deceptions about alcohol and drugs and everything else. Anything that anybody can name. But the only difference, the intensity of the experience when he revealed himself to me was so, and again, it's back to this, it was so dramatic that even my own rebellion couldn't overcome it. Now, and that's why this, you know, the Talmud talks about the three graces that he's given to all men. The grace of Abraham, which is simply the grace, I don't want to do that anymore. And if you'll read the story of Abraham, he said, I don't want to do that anymore about the same issues over and over again. And it took him 100 years before he saw the mystery. The grace of Jacob, which is a fight, and everything is, yeah. The end of the, he saw Christ.
And I've only got 80 years to go.
And then the grace of Isaac, which everybody thinks they want. It's instant revelation, but it costs you everything instantly. Now, all of us have all three of those graces, if you believe the ancient writings, and one of them is dominant in each of us. You know, I'm in terms of how hard. Ask John about how hard I am on him when he talk about the meetings we have in my office.
He's your favorite.
No, Dorsana is my favorite. Angie's my favorite.
Prize pony.
No, the point is, you got to understand this. I'm trying to make myself the most unimportant person here. And I almost succeeded over a 4 or 5 year period when I was in bed. I am, whether you can see it or not, I truly am the least important. Because in many ways, because, and at least in somebody's eyes, I'm the strongest. Spiritually. Well, that makes me the least important. And I think you know I know that, and I believe that. Now, to me, as you've heard me say 1,000 times, Shannon is the most important member of this community because she is the weakest. And Ronnie is about number 2. Except he forgets and thinks he's strong. Now this, believe it or not, this is what church is, what we just went through. It's not sitting there. And it's exploding. And if for those of you that were here in the first few years, this was every Bible study.
The fist fight and scratching gravel stage.
All righty. It's not even in the ballpark. Take a big guy.
Double hitter. For a while I thought nothing was going on. Part 1 and 2.